Welcome back. This is Category 5 Technology TV. And before the break, we were looking at the HC1, which I've now plugged in right here. And so I've simply plugged in an Ethernet cable and a power cable. That power cable is something that you purchase at the same time from cat5.tv/odroid. And that is a 5-volt, 4-amp power supply.
Right.
And it's important to get the 4-amp because we're going to be powering not just the circuitry, the SoC or the single board computer, but also the SSD.
Right.
Or you could have a hard drive as well, like a spinning hard drive if it fits. It'd be like 1.5 millimeters thick, or is it 15 millimeters? I don't know. Millimeters, inches,
really?
17 meters. You know, but yeah. As long as it fits within a 2.5 inch enclosure, then it's going to fit.
Exactly.
This device. But I like to use an SSD. I find these days, they're going to be reliable.
Mm-hmm.
They are affordable now.
Yeah.
Kingston make exceptional SSD drives, and it generates no heat. It uses virtually no power.
Right.
And so this device is basically, this is a solid state device that I can just put in my server room. I can use it at work. I can use it at home. I can put it in the cellar. I can put it, I can just tuck it in behind the TV and make it a server.
And it's fine, right?
Whereas
the spinning ones, they can,
if you move them while they're on,
yeah,
you can damage the drive.
Right.
Because the needle can, we'll call it a needle, but the head can touch the platter because there's a very, very fine air cushion between the platter and the head.
Yeah.
So it can cause damage. Whereas these things, even with it powered on right now, I have no risks in moving it around or whatever else. They're very...
I feel like a solid state drive is like Sasha proof. Like I can...
I wouldn't call it Sasha proof. We'll call it Sasha resistant.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll
stick with that.
Be careful around it.
Okay. Right. So I've plugged it in, and I want to remind you that you can't plug this into a TV. There's mm-hmm. no HDMI output. There's no video capabilities within this board whatsoever. So that's where it differs from an XU4. The XU4 has 4K HDMI output.
Right.
This does not. This is just strictly treat it like a server, or in this case, we're going to call it a NAS unit. But it's so much more than that. You think mm-hmm. of a NAS as it's strictly storage,
mm-hmm.
network attached storage.
Right.
You can save things to it, you can copy things from it, and it's centralized storage, and it's handy. It replaces the need for buying a full-size server for storing files and sharing them within your network.
Right.
But this does that, but it also has an 8-core computer running Debian Linux Stretch. Debian 9 is what I've got on there now. Of course, I could upgrade it to Buster if I wanted to go to Debian 10. It's available. It's I think it's frozen as well, so you could do that if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's okay. You don't need to do it. But
thank you.
If you do, you can do that and it will operate. So it's basically a full computer.
Yes.
But with the networking capabilities and everything else. So all I've done is with Maverick's Debian Stretch installed,
mm-hmm.
flashed to the SD card, I've turned it on, and now I see the IP address when I check out my router, because remember, it doesn't have a screen, so I need to be able to find how do I access it.
Right.
So I checked out my router, and my router shows the DHCP pool, and I can see the DHCP for, it showed as Debian Stretch,
mm-hmm.
and it showed 10.0.0.148 is what my DHCP server had assigned to this device. So now when I jump over to a PuTTY window on my Windows 10 machine and type in that address, it's saying, yeah, it's found it, 10.0.0.148. And I left that too long. So let's actually take it right from the top of PuTTY so that you can see how that works. I'm going to go 10.0.0.148, log in as... And your login is root. Let's zoom in here a little bit, and I'm going to move this window so that it falls right on your screen.
Beauty.
There you go. So your login is going to be root out of the box. Your password is all lowercase, odroid, just like you see on the box. Well, it's a little strange font, but odroid, O-D-R-O-I-D. Okay. Now, I mean, what do you want to do? Let's do apt update.
Okay.
Just to kind of see how that goes. Now we see, hey, we've got a certificate verification failed. We've got a whole bunch of errors. What gives?
What? Yeah.
What gives?
What happened?
I didn't plug in a real-time clock battery.
Oh.
We could. You could plug in a real-time clock battery. I imagine that there is a spot for it. But my clock is going to be wrong.
Righto. It okay? is. Yes.
Yeah. So what I need to do is I need to set my clock. And I'm going to confirm that. So I'll jump back to this. Anytime that you get those SSH errors, mm-hmm. if you get like you're unable to run an apt update, you're unable to do an apt upgrade, and it's telling you that secure SSL certificates are bad. If you're going on the internet from a device and it says that the SSL certificates are bad, first thing you want to do is check your date and time on your computer.
Right.
With a single board computer, it's especially true because a lot of them don't have a real-time clock battery built in. Some don't even have a real-time clock.
Oh.
So but if you plug a battery into ones that do support it, then right. it will maintain that time once you've set it.
Right.
Otherwise, you just want to keep it on a UPS so that it doesn't lose the time, or install NTP or something like that, so every time it reboots, it checks with the internet servers and downloads the time.
Yes.
But to do it quickly, first of all, let's verify that that's the problem. I'm going to just simply type date. And I see, lo and behold, it's November 3rd, 2016.
Wow.
So that is time what my travel. Board thinks. So, yeah, I mean, this is a board that I just unboxed, right? So it's never been powered on, and the system clock thinks it's 2016. That's fine. They didn't even exist back then, I don't think. But let's figure out how to actually set that time. Now, you can go through the hoops, or you can use a tool that I created, which I call my Linux time setting nerdgasm. So if you head on over to baldnerd.com/nerdgasms, just like it sounds, and on my nerdgasms list, you will find set Linux time and date. Mm, mm-hmm. And all this does is it makes it really, really easy for you to just, hey, choose your time zone, and then it will give you two commands. One is one that will just set your time right now, or two is an automated script that will actually download the time in real time from my server. But the safest thing is just to set the time. So let's grab this command, and you'll notice that the clock is actually ticking. So it's real time to when I hit copy. And then jump over here and right-click to paste, and it did it.
Right.
So now you'll see, having right-clicked in PuTTY, it pasted that command that I copied from Bald Nerd's Nerdgasm at baldnerd.com. And now it's Wednesday, February 27th, as we record this, the real time, 2019. So now if I do apt update, presumably...
it should work.
Well, yeah, that's the hope. There you go, no errors that time.
Uh-huh.
Right? So we know, hey, that's all it was, is my system clock was wrong. If I type date now, I can see it is now 2019. Now the system knows that it's 2019. That's good. Apt upgrade, you know, you want to do your typical Debian stuff, upgrade your system. It says, there are some automatically installed packages that are not needed, so apt auto remove. You can do some cleanup. Do whatever you need to do, whatever. We're not going to bother with it tonight, but it's Debian.
Right.
It's a Linux server. You can do everything that you need to do. But what we're going to do here is we're going to actually create a BitTorrent seed server. It's going to have two effects for us. One, it's going to allow us to download full seasons of Category 5 Technology TV on a little device like this.
Very cool.
Two.
Yeah.
Two,
yeah.
It's going to allow us to then be part of that community in sharing our download with other people who are trying to download it.
Very cool.
Because that's what's really cool about BitTorrent. If I give you my files, then you can give it to the next person. And if 10 people say to you, oh, I want those files, you can say, okay, here, I'll give you a copy, and I'll give you a copy, and I'll give you a copy. That's how BitTorrent works.
Right.
Now, you've heard BitTorrent, and you've thought, oh, well, isn't that illegal?
No.
It has been used. The technology has been used in the past for illegal purposes because it's such a brilliant mechanism for distribution.
Right.
So you think about, hey, how would it be best to distribute illegal copies of movies? BitTorrent would be a great way to do that. That's not what we're doing. What we are doing is we're actually, we're showing you that you can do this with legitimate files. You can download Linux distributions. You can download NEMS Linux. You can download full seasons of Category 5 Technology TV and other Category 5 shows absolutely free. and store them on here. So the first thing that we need to do, Sasha, is we need to actually make sure that the hard drive is working, because right now we haven't actually done anything with the SSD that we've connected.
Right.
So let's jump into our terminal, and we're going to go ls/dev/sd. Star, and I see that there is a SD, which is a like an SATA drive, and there's one of them, which obviously is the case here. So we know SDA1 is the first partition on SDA, the hard drive, the SSD, I should say, the Kingston drive
right.
that I installed there. I can confirm that. I can go fdisk/dev/SDA. And then P, and I can see there is an exFAT file system there of 894.3 gigs. Cool.
Nice.
All right. So I'm going to just quit that. Control C is fine. And I'm going to actually format that because I don't want the exFAT file system. Remember that as I format something, I'm wiping it.
Right.
I know that that drive is safe to wipe.
Yeah.
I don't need to back up the files on it. I'm about to destroy everything. So I'm going to make file system.ext3, I suppose. I could do ext4. ext3 is fine. /dev/sda1. Now, keep in mind, when you're creating a file system, you're formatting on Linux, you want to specify the partition.
Mm.
Because it's the first partition, SDA1. Not SDA, because that's the drive. If I format that, I'm not going to be able to use it.
Right.
You have to use a partition. So now I'm going to create that. It contains an exFAT file system. Are you sure? Yeah. All right. Discarding device blocks and presumably reusing them for my Odroid HC1. So is it flashing away? It's just working away, operating that hard drive, doing its thing. There we go. Wow, did you guys think that you were all going to be watching a format operation on Category 5 TV tonight?
Riveting.
I know. It's just awesome. You wanted more Linux? Watch the MakeFS screen, folks. And watch it discard device blocks. Oh, wow, look at that. It's finished.
That was fast.
That was super fast. Actually, truth be told, we paused things, and through the magic of television, we just kind of expedited and jumped right back to it. But our drive is now formatted.
You're welcome.
So this is just kind of quick Linux tip. It has nothing really to do with the Odroid HC1. But hey, we're learning Linux here as much as anything else tonight. So we want to type BLKID. BLKID shows us the UUID of devices in our system, and we want to look for that SDA1. See that?
Mm-hmm.
We have a UUID that is right there. That's what I want. The reason that I want that is I want to be able to mount this thing automatically at boot time.
Right.
So I've got to create a folder to mount it to. We're going to call this our mount point. So let's jump into /... No, there is no home folder because we are logged in as root. That's the only user. We're not going to get into security practices here. I'm just going to leave things as root for today. You probably want to create a Linux user and all that kind of stuff. I don't want to get into that step of things. This is running as root, which I don't like. For now, just for the sake of this, keep in mind I want you to create a user that will go into your home folder instead. But for today, should we just do it?
Do it.
User add, I think, -d, Robbie. No, user add user. Is it invalid home directory, Robbie?
Nobody said yet, but it'll happen.
Oh.
The chat room will be.
Okay, user add Robbie, password Robbie, and I'll give myself a password. I better know it.
That'd be a real Sasha move. I set up my last pass and forgot my password.
Okay, so now user add -d home Robbie. No, how do you create the directory? Just Robbie? Oh, invalid home directory. Robbie, what? Okay, well, I'm just gonna cheat. Home Robbie, make dir home Robbie, as root, chown Robbie, colon Robbie, home Robbie. Okay, su-Robbie, and now I'm Robbie. Hey, look at me. Who am I, Robbie? Okay. Duh. At least, and you know, I may not know all the commands off the top of my head, but at least.
At least you know who you are.
At least I know who I am, and I'm teaching you semi-good Linux practices in that I don't want you doing this as root because that's stupid. Okay, make a directory here. I'm Robbie now, so make dir, and I will. Okay, I'm just going to say this for the record. I'm going to post below in the description the correct command to create the home folder the correct way as I'm creating the user. It's slipping my mind, and I just want to move on to the actual demonstration here. I'm going to call this SSD. All right, so now I've got a folder in. If I go in there, you'll see. CD SSD. PWD, there you go, /Robbie/SSD. So now I'm going to exit, so I'm root again, and then BLKID. I need to grab that UUID from dev/SDA1. That's the SSD hard drive. Understand what I'm doing, because I'm probably talking a bit of gibberish. Feel free to just kick me under the table and just say, Robbie, you're talking gibberish.
I follow and I catch little things, and then my mind goes like...
I want to be able to save files to the SSD drive.
Right.
Otherwise, if I don't do these steps, I'm not actually utilizing the fact that this has an SSD drive connected to the SATA connector.
Right.
Right? The hard drive.
I catch that.
So if I do anything, if I save any files or anything else, it's going to save it to the SD card. Which is 16 gigs. SD cards are not very reliable. You don't want a lot of input-output.
Right.
So I want to step away from that by telling it to use the hard drive. So the UUID is the unique identifier of the hard drive partition dev/SDA1, which we determined is the SSD's first partition, which we formatted as EXT3. So now I want to go nano. Remember, I'm root again because I exited Robbie. nano/etc/fstab. And here, I want to just type, you know what I can do is I can just grab that first line. I'll type it. UUID equals, and then I right-click because I'm in PuTTY, but you need to paste some way that UUID that I grabbed. And then hit tab, /home/Robbie/SSD. This is the mount point that I've created, so that's where I want it to actually mount to. And then the file system type is EXT3. And then... let's just grab the same info as the first, the actual SSD here, which I've just highlighted and then pasted. Need a space there. What is it doing there? Errors. Let's jump out. Boom, boom. Errors, remount-RO means that it's going to remount the drive as a read-only drive if there is an error.
Oh,
okay. No A time means it is not going to write the access time as you access files. That is something that's good for SSDs, SD cards, because every time you touch a file, every time you open a file, it saves an access time.
So that fills it up? Or
No, what? But it uses, it writes to it.
Oh.
And again, input-output, there's a finite number of input-outputs on the drive,
okay.
So you're decreasing the lifespan of the drive.
Got it.
So no A time says it's gonna not do that, and it's not going to wear out the drive as quick. Discard, I'm not sure on. 0, 1, I can't remember the order. That's the order of scanning the drives. So anyway, that's going to do it for us. Not a comprehensive demonstration of using FSTab. We do have those, though, on our website, category5.tv. And, of course, Discord over on the right-hand side of your screen. It's going to tell you a little bit. Control-O to save, Control-X to exit, and then mount-A. If all worked, nothing happened. CD/home/Robbie/LS/LAH/SSD. Mount. Pipe, grep, SSD, look at that.
Huh.
SDA1 is mounted on SSD. So now if I go into that folder, there's a lost and found. If I touch a file, test, LS, there's test. Now watch, if I unmount it, you mount SSD. Now go back into it, where'd everything go?
Huh.
Right? Because
yes,
it's not mounted. Because that is the... drive, the SSD hard drive, this SSD. That's an oxymoron, yeah. But the SSD drive, right?
Yeah.
So now we have a place that we can save things that is a solid state drive.
Now, super cool.
I want to actually create a server. This is going to be quick. Don't worry. I know we're out of time. We're way out of time. But this is going to be quick.
Okay.
We're going to now take this system and we're going to turn it into a torrent server. So I'm going to go apt. Now, I already did apt update, but it's been a while. So I'm going to apt update again. Because, hey, if they update something in the repositories, I want it. Apt install transmission-daemon. Daemon Bach. Transmission is a great tool for working with BitTorrents. Typically, it's a GTK application that allows you to download BitTorrent in your GUI.
Okay.
Right? But we're doing it without a head, without a monitor, without X, without anything. There's no display.
Yeah.
We just want it running as a server. So now that we've installed it, we can just type systemctl start transmission dash daemon, and there's no response because it should presumably be working. So we know that we are at 10.0.0.148, and now the port, so :9091 is going to take me into transmission, but it says, wait a minute, 403 forbidden. That's good, because hey, if it wasn't installed correctly, let's jump on to 9090. We'd see that it just spins, and then it says, this site can't be reached. Well, no, it is reached. It's just rejecting us. Why is it rejecting us? Unauthorized IP address. How cool is that? So it actually has security in place that says we won't allow anyone to access our BitTorrent server unless they are authenticated by IP address.
Right.
I'm on the internal LAN, so I'm going to actually set that up right now by figuring out my IP address. So my laptop, I'll jump into my terminal. I'm on Windows 10. IP config all. Wow, lots. We've got Hyper-V and everything else. Let's jump up here. 10.0.0.139 is me. So now, first thing I need to do is systemctl stop transmission-daemon. Do that. Do not forget to stop the daemon, because if you make any changes to the configuration,
yeah,
they will not be saved. Because the daemon is running and it has the configuration loaded. You have to stop the daemon first. Then nano etc slash transmission dash daemon, I suppose, slash, and there should be a file called settings.json. There we go. Now, if we scroll down a little ways, we're going to see, and it shows you here what we're actually looking for, RPC dash whitelist. So go down to RPC dash whitelist. RPC port, RPC password. Username, whitelist, RPC whitelist, localhost is enabled, but my IP is not. So I'm just going to go comma 10.0.0. Did I say 139?
I don't know.
You don't know? Let's try it. Fantastic. Again, control O to save, control X to exit. Now, start the daemon again. Systemctl, start transmission daemon. Now if I refresh, did I get the IP right? Yes!
Nice!
It's asking me for a username and password. Username, transmission. Password, transmission. Enter.
So,
now we have an up and running BitTorrent client server for seeding, for downloading, everything. We can set it up to save to that SSD, but we need to do that again in this configuration. So let's stop. And let's go back to editing that settings.json file, and let's see where it's actually saving to. Downloads dir. It's going into varlib transmission daemon downloads. Let's change that. Home Robbie SSD. Let's call this torrents. Okay?
All right.
Now, I need to make dir home Robbie SSD torrents. Remember, it is mounted right now. Chown-r, Robbie, I presume is going to be okay. Home, Robbie, SSD, torrents. I wonder if there's a transmission group or user. Groups around, transmission. Transmission. Let's try it anyways. So, okay, so start. Now that I've set the folder and I've given it ownership by Robbie.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's refresh. Okay, so now head on over to torrent.category5.tv and let's grab, say, season 11. Just copy link address and then open that in your new server. Enter the URL. There you go. Destination folder. Look at that.
Cool.
Stored it automatically. Start when added. Upload. Okay, let's see if it works. I'm going to jump back to my terminal. LS. Okay, LS torrents. Nothing there. Nothing there. So. Oh, it's coming. Is it? No, error. Permission denied.
Oh.
Permission denied because Robbie is not the user who is running transmission GTK. So I'm going to do a really, really quick search here. Let's jump up here. No, it's Debian transmission.
Okay. There we go.
Let's try that.
Okay.
One of the things that I want to do here is I want to try to give you good security practices. I'm not genius at it, but I know that, like, we're not going to give it 777 permissions. That's nonsense. That's very, very dangerous. Don't ever do that. If someone tells you, yes, it will work, but we're not going to do that. So what I just did is I looked at the original file, ls var lib transmission daemon/downloads, and I did -lah, and I see it was actually owned by Debian-transmission. So I'm going to try that, chown-r, Debian-transmission:Debian-transmission:home, Robbie, in my case, SSD, torrents, I called that. There we go. So now, if I do systemctl restart transmission-daemon, what did I spell wrong? Transmission. I might need an S in there. There we go. Okay, so now it's restarted. Let's jump back to transmission here. Refresh. Right-click and try resume. Okay, I'm just going to remove... Oh, no. Is it going? No. Okay, I'm going to remove it. Remove. And I'm going to try again, now that I've set the correct permissions.
Right.
That's key, folks, because what I did there, understand, from a Linux perspective, I set the permissions of the folder as Robbie, but transmission doesn't have the ability to write to anything that's owned by Robbie. Okay, let's hope.
Should work now.
Let's see.
It's going to go.
And if I jump back here and I look in torrents, it should create a folder automatically if everything worked out. Oh, oh. Okay, it got a little bit of data there. I'm going to go watch LS torrents. It's got it. Category 5 Technology TV Season 11. So if I go in there, look at that. There it comes. Season 11. And it is storing on my SSD. Right?
Beauty.
How lovely is that? So here it comes, folks. Downloading at 520 kilobytes per second. Nice. And now once it's downloaded it, I become what's called a seed. So
that's
now
right.
Anyone else who wants to download it can share the downloading from my server, which is right there on an Odroid HC1.
Incredible. It's such a good concept.
This thing is so cool. I'm just showing you one little thing that you can do with an HC1. Of course, it can be whatever. As a NAS, just set up Samba, and you've got an in-house way to share your files from an SSD. You learned a lot tonight. Hopefully you were able to follow. If you have any questions, do send us an email or join us on Discord. Head on over to our website, category5.tv. There are lots of ways to interact with us. But check out the HC1. You can get one at cat5.tv/odroid.
Perfect.
I am in love with that device. I can't wait to fire it up and just leave it running.
Oh.
That's going to be a nice little torrent seeder. For Category 5 Technology
TV. Very cool.
Yeah.